Title: Micro Groove and Break Repeats, Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This lesson is for the people who already know how to chop a break, program repeats, and make it loud. Now we're going after the thing that makes it feel expensive, micro groove. And I want to frame this correctly right at the start. In drum and bass, micro groove is not let swing the whole beat. It's tiny timing, velocity, and envelope decisions that make repeats feel rolled, urgent, and human while still landing like a machine. Think drummer losing control in the best way, not stuttering sample. What we're building today is a repeat-ready break rack in Ableton Live. You'll be able to trigger 1/8, 1/16, and 1/32 repeat behaviors. Push them slightly early or late, shape them with velocity and envelopes, heap the weight, and then arrange repeat phrases that create real tension without destroying your groove. Step 0. Session setup. Don't skip this part, because if your warp is wrong, you'll be polishing a problem. Set your tempo somewhere between 172 and 176. I'll assume 174 BPM. If you're working with an audio break, use Beats Warp mode for drums. Avoid Complex Pro for this. In Beats mode, set it to Transients and start with Preserve Transients. Then set the envelope somewhere like 15 to 35. That envelope value is basically how much of the tail gets allowed through per slice marker. If your break sounds clicky and chopped, raise it a bit. If it sounds smeary, lower it. Now make 3 tracks. Track A is your main break. Track B is your designed repeats layer. And track C can be the drum bus or glue return if you want a parallel punch lane later. Now step 1. Get the break into a controllable state. For micro groove work, the best option is slicing to drum rack. It's surgical. It lets you target the exact snare hit, the ghost, the hat cluster, without doing destructive edits. So drop your break into simpler, or just right-click the clip. Choose slice to new MIDI track. Use the built-in slice to drum rack preset, and slice by transient. Now you've got a drum rack where each pad is a slice. Perfect. This is your break as an instrument. Step 2. Build the repeat engine inside drum rack. Here's the concept. We're not going to rewrite MIDI every time we want a different repeat vibe. We're going to build multiple behaviors of the same slice. Find your key slices. Usually it's the main snare, maybe a ghost snare, maybe a hat or a ride cluster. For this lesson, pick one main repeat target, most of the time in DNB. That's the snare. Now duplicate that snare chain 2 or 3 times. You want at least 3 behaviors. One chain is clean, like the original. One chain is your 1/16 roller behavior. One chain is your 1/32 panic behavior for tension. Teacher note: the difference between a repeat that sounds pro and one that sounds like a sampler demo is almost always the tail length. If the tail is too long, fast repeats blur and mask everything. So we control the envelope hard. On the clean chain, keep it natural. One-shot mode, normal start at the transient, filter off or subtle. Amp envelope, attack at 0, decay maybe 200 to 400 milliseconds depending on the sample, release 30 to 80 milliseconds. This is your reference hit. On the 1/16 roller chain, shorten the tail, decay something like 60 to 140 milliseconds, release 20 to 60. If the repeats get too clicky, soften them slightly. A great quick fix is drum bus with light drive and transients turned down a bit, like negative 5 to negative 15. You're not trying to kill the punch, you're trying to stop the repeated transient from slicing your ears off. On the 1/32 panic chain, go even shorter. Decay maybe 35 to 90 milliseconds, release 10 to 40, and consider saturator with soft clip on, drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. Why? Because at low velocities, 1/32 notes can disappear. Saturation helps keep them audible without you needing to crank the level. Now step 3. Micro timing. This is where the magic is. DNB repeats often feel better slightly late, especially snare repeats, because they drag against the grid while your anchors stay firm. And I'm going to say this a lot, anchors versus ornaments. Pick 2 or 3 things that do not move, usually main kick, main snare, and maybe your core hat. Those are immovable. Everything else can drift. If you let anchors drift too, your offsets stop feeling like groove and start sounding like bad timing. We'll do micro timing 2 ways: groove pool for macro feel, and manual nudging for surgical feel. First, groove pool. Open the groove pool in Live. Drag in something like MPC 16 swing, maybe 54 to 58 as a starting point. Or better, extract a groove from a real break. Right-click an audio clip and choose Extract Groove. Apply that groove only to your repeat MIDI clip. Not the whole kit. Not your bass. Just the repeats. Start with timing around 10 to 25%, velocity around 5 to 20%, random 2 to 8%. And do not commit immediately, keep it flexible until you're sure. Committing is great when you want to print a feel, but it removes easy adjustment. Now the surgical method, pernote micro shifts. Go into the MIDI clip that contains your repeats. Turn on fold so you only see used notes. Select only the repeat notes, like your 1/32 snare run. Now nudge them late. Start with plus 7 milliseconds to plus 18 milliseconds late for snare repeats. That range is a sweet spot. If it feels late but cool, you're in the zone. If it starts sounding like a flam, pull it back to plus 4 to plus 10. For tiny hat ticks, try the opposite, slightly early, minus 3 to minus 10 milliseconds. This creates that push-pull, hats pulling forward, snare repeat dragging back. That's menace. That's propulsion. Quick musical reality check using note lengths, not just milliseconds. At 174 BPM, a 1/16 note is about 86 milliseconds. A 1/32 is about 43 milliseconds. So a big micro shift is around 10 to 20% of the note length. That's about 9 to 17 milliseconds on 1/16, and about 4 to 9 milliseconds on 1/32. If you're nudging like 25 milliseconds on a 1/32 pattern, you're not micro grooving anymore, you're rewriting the rhythm. Also, micro groove is usually two-stage, placement and length. People fix placement, but leave the tails too long, and then wonder why it still feels messy. It's overlap blur. Tighten the envelope, then judge the timing. Step 4. Velocity contour. This is where repeats become a performance. Flat velocity repeats are the fastest way to make machine gun. You need shape. Try a ramp up into impact. For a 1-beat 1/16 snare repeat, start around mid-velocity and climb steadily. Something like 55, 58, 62, 66, 70, 76, 83, 92. 104, 118. You can either let the last hit slam, or cut it right before the drop for negative space. That silence is a weapon. Another great pattern is accent every 3 notes in a 1/16 run. So you're accenting 1, 4, 7, 10, 13, and so on. That creates polyrhythmic tension, that rotating jungle feeling, like the roll is turning over inside the bar. Or, if it's too intense, do the decay tail. Start strong and taper down from something like 110 down to 55 across the run. This lets you keep the motion without masking your kick and bass. You can draw these manually in the velocity lane, which is best, or use the MIDI velocity device, comp or gate modes, a tiny bit of random, like 2 to 8, and a little drive to emphasize accents. But don't rely on randomness as your groove. Random is seasoning, not the recipe. Step 5. Kill the machine gun effect without losing control. Machine gun happens when the transient, sample start, and tone are identical on fast repeats. You only need to use two methods to fix it, but here are the strongest options. First, slight sample start variation. Inside Simpler, modulate sample start just a tiny amount. Even a fraction of a millisecond can change the transient enough that the ear stops hearing copy-paste. Second, round-robin chains. Duplicate your repeat chain 2 to 4 times. On chain A, normal start. On chain B, move the start a tiny bit later, like 30 to 80 samples. On chain C, maybe filter it slightly darker. Then use chain selector with a random MIDI device so it alternates. Chance around 15 to 40% is plenty. The goal is subtle variation, not an obvious different snare every hit effect. Third, micro tone shift. Put an auto filter on the repeat chain only, up past 24 dB. Somewhere around 6 to 14 kHz, and just add tiny movement. This stops the repeated tone from stacking exactly the same way every time. Step 6, transient and weight management. Because fast repeats can steal headroom and make everything feel smaller if you're not careful. Here's a solid stock device chain for the repeat chain, not your whole drum bus. Start with EQ8, high pass around 90 to 140 hCz to remove rumble and keep low end for the kick and sub. If it's boxy, cut a bit around 250 to 450. If it needs bite, a small boost around 3 to 6 kHz. Then drum bus. Drive maybe 2 to 8. Crunch low, like 0 to 10. Careful. Transients depend on your sample. If it's clicky, go negative. If it's too soft, you can go positive, but be cautious on 1/32. Usually, boom is off or repeats. Let the main kick hone the low end. Then glue compressor. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Soft clip on if you need it. Then utility. Width around 80 to 110%. In a busy DNB mix, repeats often behave better mostly centered. If you want width, earn it in the highs only, not in the body. And utility gain automation is underrated. You can shape repeat phrases without messing the velocity programming. Now the parallel punch trick. Send the repeats lightly to a return with saturator and compression. Keep the dry repeats clean. Blend in aggression. This keeps definition, while adding that why does it hit so hard density. Now step 7. Arrangement ideas. This is where micro groove actually matters, because repeats need a job. If they happen constantly, they stop feeling special. Pre-drop. Tighten then explode. 4 bars out. Start introducing 1/16 snare repeats. Micro shift them late. Ramp velocity up. 1 bar out. Switch to 1/32 but drop the overall velocity slightly. It should read as faster, not louder. Then, in the last 8th note before the drop, mute the repeats for a breath. That breath makes the drop sound bigger without adding any peak level. For rolling sections, use hidden motion. Put occasional 1/32 hat micro repeats at low velocity, like 20 to 55, every couple bars. Nudge them slightly early, like -5 milliseconds. It creates forward roll without drawing attention. For jungle flavor, repeat a ghost snare slice, not the main snare. Let the main snare stay authoritative. Ghosts provide chatter and swing. Extra advanced variations. If you want to go further, try the flam illusion without reedle flams. Duplicate your repeat layer into 2 layers, A and B. Keep both mono. Offset layer B by +3 to +8 milliseconds. Reduce its velocity by 10 to 25, and high pass at higher, like 200 to 350 Hz. It becomes an air transient layer. Psychoacoustically, it reads like a complex double hit, without sounding sloppy. Try negative swing on selected steps. In a 1/16 run, pick only steps 4, 8, 12, 16 and push them late by 6 to 12 milliseconds. Pull steps 2 and 6 slightly early, like -2 to -6. This creates that lurching mechanical funky DNB feel that swing presets can't replicate. Try velocity as rhythm. Keep timing steady, but make accents cycle every 5 or 7 hits. The accents become a second rhythm lane, and you'll feel syncopation even if the notes are straight. And if you have MIDI note chance available, do probability ghosting. Keep the core repeat notes at 100%. Add extra ghost notes at low velocity with chance around 15 to 35%, and nudge those ghosts a different direction than the main repeats. That's how you get a loop that feels alive for 2 minutes without constantly changing the pattern. Now, common mistakes to avoid. This audio version is shortened for playback.